Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming on the Game Nashville app, the Preds continue to make the push for the playoffs, and there's only 9 games left in the regular season. A critical 2-game swing in Chicago. Well, we're going to preview that swing with the radio voice of the Chicago Blackhawks, good friend of the show, John Wideman, joining us. It's all brought to you by day one sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries Nashville, with 3 locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee, with furniture in stock and ready for delivery. You got to check them out. And, of course, our man, Carter Church, with KW Murfreesboro, your real estate expert. I'm Paul McCann. Our co-hosts are former NHL coach and player Brent Peterson and the host of the Preds Watch Party, Zach McCann. Guys, here we are again. We've been playoff position for God knows how long, and the Preds just seem to keep on holding on, Zach. A big win after dropping 2 to a very good Carolina team.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting to see this team kind of just take hold of that fourth position, though don't look too far behind you, because just when you think you've got the Blackhawks on the ropes, you've got Dallas snipping right behind them, only 3 points back.
Yeah, 3 points back with 3 games in hand, Coach. You know, the Dallas Stars are on a little bit of a run, and quite frankly, the schedule makers have certainly not exactly helped the Nashville Predators. Of course, this was made before the season began, but 4 straight against the Detroit Red Wings can be good for everything that ails you this year.
Yeah, and they also the Stars are right there, but they also have to go to Tampa Bay twice that we don't have to go to. And I think the problem is we got to play Carolina too. So everybody has tough schedules. Everybody has easy schedules at times. And you're sort of, you're up and down, and you're working away at what you're trying to do. But the schedule, you can't even worry about it. You just have to go day by day. And that's the old cliche coach. You go day by day and you'll get through it all. We have the least games. We played the most. And when Dallas got the least games played, they got 3 games in hand on us. We'll just have to hope they lose one and we keep winning.
Well, and that's where, you know, you've got, you know, Dallas and Troy. By the way, we'll keep an eye on that tonight as well. Dallas and Troy is getting started. No score yet in that game. It's the second game of a back-to-back. They're in Dallas tonight, and then they go to Detroit for 2, one on Thursday night, one on Saturday night, before a Titanic showdown next Monday and Tuesday, while the Nashville Predators are facing off against the Florida Panthers. It's Dallas and Carolina on those 2. And Zach, I mean, if they're going to do it, they're going to have to do it after this 4-game stretch against Detroit. You got back to back, and, you know, with Carolina in Dallas, and then you're looking at the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's not easy after these 4 games. They're going to have to make hay while the sun shines against Detroit.
Absolutely. And I think the game that everyone has circled on our calendar is the final matchup between Nashville and Dallas. At this point, I do think it's probably fair to say that the winner of that game is most likely going to take over the 4th spot in the Central.
Yes, especially if Nashville takes care of business this week. I mean, you know, last night you were really curious, Coach, how is this team going to react to back-to-back losses in Carolina? But my heavens, that Carolina team just plays hockey the right way. Rod Brind'Amour has this team playing on its toes, forechecking like madmen, and just speed, speed, speed. How much fun is the Carolina Hurricanes to watch just as a hockey fan?
Yeah, they are. They're a great team. They do everything well, except for their goaltending is not supposed to be very good. But Mrazek loves to play the Predators, so they put him in there every time we get to go there or here. He just has our number right now, and you just gotta keep working at it. Every time you play him, you gotta break that string. It only takes one game to win, and the string's broken, and then you win the rest of them forever and ever.
Well, Brent, you know, it is interesting. I mean, when you talk about a goaltender, for some reason, you looked at a goaltender like Jonathan Bernier. Not exactly a great goaltender, but for a while there, whenever a Pred fan saw John Bernier in net, it's like, oh gosh, chalk up the L. I think he went 10-0 against this team before the Predators finally figured him out.
Yeah, it's kind of funny the way some goalies just play good against certain teams, and you know, Bernier was one of them, and then you had Mrazek in the Carolina. So you just have to, what you have to do is you have to put all your efforts into one game, beat them once, break the string, and then let it go from there.
So, you know, Zach, last night's game, you know, it was an interesting exercise in almost seeing the three different levels of the Central Division. You have that, you know, you have the cream of the crop. You've got the top three in the Central Division. Then you've got, a middle group. But when I look at that Chicago team last night, I just don't see. I mean, you know, okay, Alex DeBrincat got his normal goal against the Predators. He does it all the time. But for some reason, Patrick Kane just does not seem to bring the kind of game we're used to seeing from Patrick Kane against the Predators lately.
It's hard to want more from a guy who has 22 points in 23 games, but at the same time, you do want to see a little more from Patrick Kane in these big game environments, especially as he was a tormentor of the Predators for so long. But honestly, I look at that Chicago team, and I just don't think they're there yet. I don't think they're really in that same echelon as Nashville or as Dallas, in my opinion.
Agreed.
I think they really are who we thought they were in a lot of perspectives.
Well, and I mean, I think, Coach, you look at last night's game. I mean, Kevin Lankinen was a superstar for 6 weeks as Chicago kind of, you know, really got off to a great start. And he looked positively ordinary last night.
Yeah, he was ordinary, and like Zach said, they're on the same level as the top-notch teams in the league, or in the division. But they're a young team, and Zach's exactly right when he says they're not ready yet. They're just not there yet, and then they could go ahead and win two games in a row here on me and shut me up. But I just think they're so young on defense, they're going to make an error at the wrong time of the game. They're so young. They're playing those three young defensemen every night and with Keith in there. I think the youth has really stimulated his game. I mean, I thought Keith played feisty all night and was really wanting to win, trying to show his guys how you win, teach the younger guys how to win. And I just don't think they're ready yet. They're young, and they're going to be good. But right now, they're just average.
You know, Coach, I've got to respectfully disagree with you on there. I thought Duncan Keith was the worst player on the ice for the Blackhawks last night.
I thought he played great last night.
But his spiciness directly led to turnovers that led to Predators' goals. It led to penalties that directly caused, power play chances. I mean, not a ton of power play chances, but we'll get to that later. But I think in those moments, you need your leaders to lead. And Duncan Keith really, frankly, played like a spoiled brat out there, in my opinion.
I just thought he played feisty hard and was all over people. He kicked Cunningham's butt in the corner one time, and he should have got a penalty for it. It was a pretty bad cross-check, but he didn't get. We're not getting any calls from the referee, so but I just thought he's been rejuvenated, and I agree with you on Patrick Kane though. He's giving you enough, but not a lot. He's giving you a lot, but not enough for what you need as your top guy to be the main man. To bring it, he can score whenever. He's just a natural goal scorer, just like Tolvanen.
No question.
Every league they've been in, and they keep doing it.
And it's interesting that you brought up Elli Tolvanen, because this is the place I wanted to go next. Because since Tolvanen has left the lineup, Zach, the Nashville power play has not scored a single goal.
Yeah, I know. We've all scored the same amount of goals that the rest of the Predators players have on the power play, which is not an awesome stat considering none of us play hockey. But at the current time, you look at the power play and – I'm sorry, you take away your top two finishers
right. In
Elli Tolvanen and Philip Forsberg, and of course you're going to suffer. And there are some very good players. I mean, like Mikael Granlund and Calle Järnkrok has done great work on that power play, but you're seeing Roman Josi start to do a little too much on the power play, kind of feeling the pressure of losing those top players. And I do think that the fact that Elli Tolvanen was skating this morning is just excellent news for this Predators team, especially when you're probably starting to think that you're 10-foot tall and bulletproof against these Blackhawks. Getting an injection of Elli Tolvanen and perhaps Brad Richardson might be just what the doctor ordered to finish up and carry on a nice tradition of sweeping the Hawks.
That's the scary part when you look at and if you didn't see on Twitter, the Preds Twitter account posted video of Elli Tolvanen and Brad Richardson on the ice today, also starting to hear rumbles about Philip Forsberg possibly getting on the ice. It would be nice, Coach, to have these guys get a couple of games. If you're going to make the playoffs, let's get a couple of games before the playoffs begin to kind of get them used to, used to game speed, so they're not trying to catch a speeding train from the station.
Yeah, you want to give him at least a couple of games, even if it's just one, or if he's really, as he's healthy and can come back, you need him to get a couple of games under his belt, because the game speed and the practice speed is a completely different thing, especially when you're going into a playoff first game. But I've seen some good players, though, over the past, sit out the last month of the season with an injury and then come into game one and just light it up. So
I seem to do it.
Good players can do it, but not everybody.
Seem to recall Jonathan Taves or doing that to us a couple of years ago.
No, it was Patrick Kane.
No, it was Kane. It was Kane. You're right. It was absolutely Patrick Kane. We were like, oh, great, we got Chicago without Kane. And
the healing
God,
power.
My God, there was his entrance music, and we had a real problem. All right, well, we're just getting started on this edition of Slapshot Radio in the rocking chair of the Hockey Block on 102.5 The Game, ESPN Radio in Nashville. You know, they've been with us since day one of the show. The premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio, Doctors Aileen Kruger and Tyler Boland over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Man, they got a great staff. A great environment. I'm telling you what, they got HD TVs in every room. When I go over there, they have the NHL Network going. I love that. So you know what? You got to go check them out. All the latest in dental technology. I'm telling you, even if you're a little bit nervous about going to the dentist, this is the place to go. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com, or you can call them for an appointment at 872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We Brighton Smiles.
You got the touch. You got the power.
Kenny on the wheels of steel.
Come on, man.
Oh, my Lord. It is Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Kenny getting deep on an interesting cut from a rather weird movie in the 90s. So anyway, we have got a great guy. We haven't talked to him in a little while. We're looking forward to getting him back on the show. The radio voice of the Chicago Blackhawks, the one and only John Weideman. John, welcome back to Slapshot Radio. How are you? John, are you there? Okay, looks like we're having a little problem with John. We'll let Kenny work on that. And guys, as we turn our attention to the game coming up tomorrow night in Chicago, you look at these games right now, and obviously they're critical to both teams, because honestly, if Chicago can't find a way to win at least one of these games, they're probably done. They have fallen back to sixth place now in the Central Division, 1 point behind Dallas. And again, those games in hand really become a critical piece. So, John, are you back?
I am there, guys, and I appreciate you bringing me back onto the air after that that music that reminded me of Dirk Diggler.
It's only two movies that reminds me of, Transformers and Boogie Nights.
Oh, my heavens. Too funny. Well, John, it's so glad. Yes, it's so great to have you back on Slapshot Radio.
Great to be back with you guys.
A renaissance season of sorts in Chicago, a team competing for the playoffs. It's been a couple of years. Is there a buzz in Chicago that this team seems to finally be, you know, back on a track of looking like playoffs are, you know, a good possibility instead of, hopeless like it was last year?
I will say that there is a buzz that the playoffs are a possibility. I wouldn't say it was a good possibility right now, because the Preds have been playing so well here of late. And, it's been impossible for the Blackhawks to beat them this year. The Blackhawks are 0-4-2. And one of my questions to Jeremy Colliton tomorrow morning when we talk is going to be, why do you think the Predators have played so well against the Blackhawks? And, I'm going to be interested to hear his answer. I think that the Predators right now are strong. I think David Poile did an excellent job at the trade deadline. Some people would say, well, he didn't get enough. I don't think so. I think that the Predators have plenty of firepower up front. They've got lots of speed. They have four lines that John Hines can roll and play effectively. I love their fourth line. You know, I know that they're missing Matthew, and his last name escapes me right now. But
Olivier,
thank you, Olivier. But that that Yakov Trenin, that guy is built like a truck. And you've got Colton Sissons, who's a terrific face-off guy, and in my mind, an underrated centerman. So, you know, and that's just the fourth line I was describing there. The rest of them, you know, when they get rolling, they can light them up with the best. And, you know, you've always had Roman Josi. You know, Ryan Ellis has come back to the lineup. He's always tough on the Blackhawks. Matthias Ekholm has been good. I like what I'm seeing in Matt Benning. Then, of course, you had the Twin Towers, Ben Harper and Eric Goodbranson, along with the way that you've seen some real quality in goal with Juuse Saros and Pekka Rinne. Guys, I would say that the Predators could have a surprisingly lengthy playoff run if they can hang on to that position.
I like that kind of talk. Coach, you got a question for John.
Yeah, John, I just want to know, like, we had so many injuries here in Nashville. We had players hurt and COVID and injured and everything. We were forced to bring up the guys like Tolvanen and those kind of guys, and they just injected a great energy into our lineup. The Chicago's players do that too. That's why they had such a great start.
Well, we've been very fortunate, and thank you for your question. We've been very fortunate as far as the COVID is concerned. We've only had a couple of guys that have been affected, and there's been some question about whether they've been truly affected. There were a couple of guys earlier in the season that did go out of the lineup because of COVID. So we've been very fortunate by comparison to, let's say, Vancouver. But I think what we're looking at with the Blackhawks as a team now is a reformulation of new talent, and a scheme that everyone has bought into, guys. It's not something that these guys have had to been, you know, pulled into this kicking and screaming. Everybody has bought in. And there have been some nights where they haven't played very well, particularly nights against the Nashville Predators. They just have not had any luck with the Preds. And, you know, they're trying to change that. But I agree with you. I don't know which one of you, Zach or Paul, I don't know which one of you said it, but I agree with your statement earlier. If the Blackhawks are not able to win either of these next two games, I think that they're looking at planning for next season. And so from being on this side of the fence, I would hope that the Blackhawks will win too, but I think it's going to be a tall order.
We're on the line with the radio voice of the Chicago Blackhawks, John Weideman. Zach, you got a question for John?
Absolutely, I do. You know, one player who I was very intrigued to see come back in the lineup the last time these two teams met was Kirby Dach. What has he meant to the lineup so far, and what are the early returns on him playing for the Hawks this season?
Well, and that's a good question, because Kirby's presence in the lineup was something of a question after what happened to him in the World Junior Tournament. It actually happened in one of the exhibition games. And, you know, I don't know if you guys saw the picture of his wrist.
Oh.
A pretty ghastly-looking injury.
Yeah,
and,
it was not
he's
good.
Young. He's tough. He worked hard. He recovered from that. And I think what Kirby Dach brings to the Blackhawks, not only the injection of youth, as you mentioned, but depth at center. And Lord knows they need it. With Jonathan Toews being out of the lineup for the mysterious reasons that he's out, and nobody seems to know, guys. I don't know. Nobody knows anything. And, you know, if by some slim chance he might be listening to this show, I would say, you know, we all miss you, and get well soon, get back into the lineup, but make sure that your health is the number one priority. But all of that being said, guys, you look at the Blackhawks faceoff win percentage, and it starts with the centers. They're down near the bottom of the league, and that has been a difficult hurdle for the team to overcome this year. Kirby Dach, he's growing. He's learning. He's 19 years old. He's a guy that, in my opinion, is going to emulate Ryan Getzlaff of the Anaheim Ducks and Mark Scheifele of the Winnipeg Jets, you know, that ilk. And I think in time, Kirby will learn some lessons on how to win faceoffs and grow into a dominant posture as an NHL centerman. And we all knew it when he was picked third in the draft 2 years ago. You know, waiting for that development to happen, I think it's happened more quickly than anybody expected, and it's been to the Blackhawks' benefit.
You know, we're on the line with John Weideman, the radio voice of the Chicago Blackhawks on Slapshot Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You know, the other young player that I have been so impressed with in Chicago has been Pugh Suter. I mean, what a breakout season from the youngster. And I noticed him almost every time he was on the ice last night. Talk a little bit about Suter and you know, what were the Blackhawks' expectations of him? Because it certainly seems like he's exceeded them.
Well, I would agree with you there. I think when Pugh Suter was signed, the thinking was that he was going to compete for a spot in training camp. And I think that the conventional wisdom was that he was going to go to Rockford and play in the American Hockey League for a time and then possibly crack the NHL lineup. But nobody really knew that he was going to come to camp and flourish the way that he did. He's got some natural instincts around the net, guys. He's a smart player anyway. His game is not one that's predicated on a long, booming slap shot or, you know, a hard wrist shot where he can pick out the corners. He's one of those guys that's really good around the net. And not only with his stick and his ability to grab loose pucks and put them on goal, but his ability to fend off checks. Very rarely do opponents label him with a body check. You rarely see that. He's usually really good about having spatial awareness when it comes to opponents being around him, especially the big guys like the Predators have. He knows that Ben Harper's 6'6" and 235. He knows that Eric Goodbranson is 6'5" and 225, and both of them are big, strong, tough guys. He knows when he's on the ice with those guys, he knows they're somewhere close to him. And so he's got to be kind of nimble on his skates and be able to reposition quickly. And if he can't get a shot on goal, if he's got the puck, maybe he makes a play. But around the net, he does these little things that I don't think you can coach. And I think he just has this knack for being effective around the net. Now, saying that, you know, in his own zone, he could be better. He probably needs to learn to be better at that end of his game. But having said all of that, he has not been bad for the team this year. In fact, he's been one of the more pleasant surprises.
No question about it. Coach, we've got a time for one more with John Weideman from the Chicago Blackhawks.
Hey, John, I just wanted to ask you about Keith. How's he playing this year, and is he just sort of going through the motions, or is he playing hard?
You're talking about Duncan Keith?
Yeah.
Yeah, Duncan Keith is same old, if you will. Forgive the expression, but Duncan, you know, obviously at age 37, he's not the spry 25-year-old he was back in the day when the Blackhawks were, you know, competing for Stanley Cup championships. Okay, he's got a few miles on the frame, and he realizes that, but he keeps himself in impeccable shape. One thing I'll share with you guys and your listeners is, you know, from traveling with the team, I see what the guys bring with them on the road. And obviously, they're a professional sports team, so they're looked after. They have no problem when it comes to having food supplied for them, and it's top-shelf variety food. You know, it's the best of the best. So that way these athletes can feed their bodies and, you know, get the right amount of fluids and get the right amount of rest and be ready to compete. Well, Dunk brings a lot of his own stuff in a great big bag that he lugs through the plane, and he's got it over his shoulder. And nobody really knows what's in that bag, but I think that because he's so health conscious and he's so conscious about his conditioning, I think if you were to unzip that bag and look inside, I think you'd find nutritional supplements, probably vitamins, something with a healthy bent to it. I think that he's probably got the purest system of any of the Blackhawk players. And when he first began with the team and the organization, you know, back in the early 2000s, he had to learn all of that. But there's a science to it. And one of his disciples, if you will, is Jonathan Toews, who now lives that way and he eats that way. And they watch closely how much they eat and what they eat, the quality. And it reflects in their play. It reflects in their conditioning, their ability to recover from injury. So to try and answer your question, I think Duncan Keith, knowing that the rebuild has already started and the replenishment of the lineup has been taking place really as he's been here to kind of be a firsthand witness, he knows that he's going to have to mentor some of the guys around him, not just the guys that play his position, but other Blackhawk players who are going to be in the dressing room and show them how to be a pro, show them how to take care of their bodies, what's important, what's not important, and be kind of a father figure, if you will. All along, and then just go play his game. And lately, he's been very good.
You hear him on the Chicago Blackhawks coverage on WGN. What a legendary station in Chicago. He's John Weideman, the radio play-by-play man for the Chicago Blackhawks. John, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing you and Pat and the entire group back in Smashville next season.
Guys, I can't wait to come back to Nashville. It's one of my favorite cities in the league. I know my partner Troy Murray loves Nashville. But we always love coming there. The fans are just great to us, and the experience has always been top shelf. So thank you for having me on. All the best, and let's talk again.
All right, we certainly will. John Weideman, the radio play-by-play man of the Chicago Blackhawks, and we'll be right back right here on Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Never know what he's going to come up with. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on the Game Nashville app. You're in the rocking chair of the Hockey Block. Penalty Box Radio coming up at 8 o'clock. So, guys, I do want to talk. A milestone was passed last night in Vegas. And Patrick Marleau sets a new record for most NHL games played. He hit 1,768 last night, passing the legendary Gordie Howe, breaking a record that I never thought would be broken. And the interesting piece is Howe has held that record from 1961 when he said it. He passed Ted Lindsay in 61 and then another, played all the way until 1980, for heaven's sakes. And, oh, by the way, that doesn't count the games that he played in the WHL between 74 and 79. So, I mean, it amazing record. And for a 41-year-old in his 23rd season to pass that, I mean, Coach, Patrick Marleau is just a marvel.
Well, he is. He's not a real aggressive player, and he's not a fighter or a banger. But he could skate like the wind. I was the coach of the Portland Winterhawks back in junior, and he was on Seattle. That was our arch rival. We 3 hours down to Seattle, up to Seattle, and back to Portland for 3 hours. And he was just a great player already. He was already could skate like the wind. I think he went second overall in the draft. I think I remember him going second overall in the draft. And then he was gone. Thank goodness he was gone from junior because we won the Memorial Cup that year because he was gone. He was one of their best players. And so, but it's an incredible accomplishment because Howe played until he was 51 overall. And and he played the last little bit in the WHA for sure. But it's amazing that Patrick Marleau can break Gordie Howe's record. That's unbelievable. I'm proud of him. I'm glad of him. I was assistant coach at the World Championships in Germany the one year when Trotsky couldn't go. And Patrick Marleau was there with Joe Thornton, and they're just great people. And I'm really happy for him.
Yeah, it really is something else. And you have to tip your hat to a guy that just keeps on playing. And not only that, it's not like he's just hanging on. He's still contributing, Zach. Right. He is still playing, hockey at a high level. This isn't let's see if we can get him to the record. He has been contributing every year.
You look at a player like Marleau, and when a player is built on explosive speed, it's not exactly a type of hockey that you expect to last or a career that's going to have longevity. But that's something that Marleau has still pulled off, whether it's a deft touch in his puck handling skill or just incredible vision. He's the type of player who is just that consummate leader, almost Korea-esque in a lot of the ways that he plays the game. And I certainly remember a lot of playoff series where he was just a tormentor to the Nashville Predators, just incredible. Incredible ice sense, explosive strides, and a way that just finished like no other player on that Sharks team could. That is just the consummate San Jose Shark in my eyes.
Yep, and so congratulations, Slapshot Radio tips their hat to Patrick Marleau for just an amazing accomplishment. So let's turn the attention back to Nashville. Some news breaks out today. Another college, a collegiate player, just off of a national championship run with UMass Amherst. You're looking at Mark Delgazzo, and I think I'm pronouncing that last name correctly. You know, just won the NCAA Division I championship. You know, good sized. You know, not huge, but a 5'10", 181 pound blue liner. He's kind of built like a fire, fire hydrant there. Had a good tournament. And again, it's interesting to see how we're starting to see, Zach, the prospect pool, you know, from the blue line perspective, starting to get replenished with some of these collegiate signings that the Predators have been doing lately.
You know, the Predators love a college hockey playing pit bull terrier built defenseman. And this certainly sounds like your typical David Poile signing. Most importantly, I hear he ranks high on the cute scale. According to my girlfriend, that's about all I know about him from that. But, you know, which is very critical. So
absolutely.
So you look at things like that, and you look at the type of prototypical youth injection that you want to put into this franchise. This is a team that has been fairly consistently ranked towards the bottom in Corey Pronman's farm system rankings on The Athletic for the last few years. And with savvy signings like this and depth moves that seem to have started to really pay off for this team, I don't think you're going to see that trend continue for much longer.
You know, and the interesting piece as well, Zach and Coach, I want to ask you about this, that we've seen Eric Gudbranson now in two games. And this is a guy that has been kind of maligned. He's been, you know, a journeyman, you know, after being such a highly, a highly touted prospect, a high draft pick. But Brent, I have to admit, I've been fairly impressed with his game just the first couple of games in Predators colors.
He's played very well. He's played big. He's played strong. He's played. He hasn't done anything stupid to get a penalty. He's a big guy, and you can do some damage if you start swinging the stick around like he does. But he has a stick down. He has good stick position. He has great experience in the league, and he's perfect for these young guys coming up to sort of tell him, get him through this. And this will be a great, not only great for the city and for everybody to get in the playoffs. Excuse me.
Yeah.
To get in the playoffs, but also it's a great experience for the players to play in the playoffs. That's how you learn, and that's how you learn how to play and step it up a notch and play that way. So Zach, I think he's played very well.
Zach, we kind of discussed the pickup afterwards, and we were kind of like meh on the pickup, but it was really interesting to hear an opposing team's broadcaster refer to the Twin Towers on the third pairing. It was kind of interesting to hear that kind of a comparison to talking about Harper and Gudbranson.
Well, and just like the towers of Barad-dûr and Orthanc from the aforementioned Lord of the Rings series.
Why did I know this was coming?
Look, out of all the Two Towers references I could have made, I figured that was the safest.
Probably.
So if you look at the way that those two players are built, that is kind of your prototypical Nashville third pairing as of late. I'll be honest, I don't know if I am in love with the pairing as much as a lot of people might be. I do understand that they are imposing, but I do think against a team with a little more offensive firepower, like your Carolina Hurricanes, like your Tampa Bay Lightning, you are going to run into issues having them. I do think you're better suited having a player like Jeremy Davies, but it is going to be interesting when you have an Alex Carrier back in the lineup, a Dante Fabro back in the lineup. Do they stay in? And this is their time for them to, as we've said earlier, make hay while the sun is shining.
No question. And I think part of the reason why I kind of like that, and I go a little old school hockey here, you know, Toe Blake, you know, I mean, the two of them absolutely do some banging and crashing. And you saw it last night. You saw the team looking around going, okay, these guys are on the ice, watch out, kind of thing. So it was kind of neat to see that out of the fourth pair, to get that, just that physical play that didn't seem to hurt the team at all, you know, when we were looking at the play. Now, Zach, I think you make a good point, you know, against a Carolina, against a Tampa that is going to really come after you with some ridiculous speed, could be a different story. So we've got one more segment to go here on Slapshot Radio before Penalty Box Radio takes over at 8 o'clock, and we will be right back after I talked to you about Carter Church from KW Murfreesboro. Now, Carter, I've kind of gotten to know him. We work together with the Predators. And, you know, I have seen how Carter's over 20 years of media and marketing experience has really driven his proven success as a real estate agent. You need Carter on your team in this real estate market in Nashville. Call Carter today at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church from KW Murfreesboro is your real estate professional. If you're buying or if you're selling, you got to call Carter today. And we'll be right back right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's Slapshot Radio.
Glad you came. Hit the track. Body hop there and back. Need a moment in
time. Kenny going old school. Dances. It's Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh man, you know what? Some sad news today, actually, coming out of hockey. The Ontario Hockey League canceled the season today. They were hoping to be able to get a short, abbreviated season in. The COVID situation in Ontario just wouldn't allow it. Coach, the question I have for you is, what does that do to the prospects that basically have been on the shelf now for over a year? What does it do for their prospects for the NHL draft? I mean, you know, how does something like that impact?
Well, hopefully we can go back and play in Milwaukee next year. And if the COVID's not too bad, it's really bad in Canada right now. They have the variant and it's really causing trouble. My dad just went from being able to go outside. He's got to stay strictly in his room now. And it's just a bad situation in Canada, all over Canada. It's really kind of been flexing its muscle, and it's really hurt. It's hurt everybody in their situations. But in the hockey situation, it just piles up, and you never get signed. That a good guy might slip under through your fingers or something. You don't get to watch them play. So our prospects have to play. That's why we sent Tomasino and those guys to Chicago. It's not our affiliate, but they have to play somewhere. They got to play hockey. You got to play hockey somewhere. And to get noticed by anybody, even after you're drafted.
You know, actually, and we're gonna we're efforting to try and get Scotty Nichol on next week, so we can talk about the Chicago Hockey Admirals and get an idea of exactly some of the prospects that we haven't seen in Nashville. I mean, we've kind of been stripping them like crazy over the last few weeks, especially with prospects. But Zach, so we turn our attention now to the final nine games. And when you look at these final nine, I mean, obviously, you go forward and you say, okay, next Saturday against Dallas is huge in Smashville. These next two are huge, you know, against Chicago, because quite frankly, you take 4 points in the next two games, you bury the Blackhawks. You bury them, they're done, and then all you have to do is worry about Dallas and staying ahead of them. But the pair of games that really fascinates me coming up is that back-to-back Monday, Tuesday, next week against the Florida Panthers, because that to me is the one team that is an enigma out of the Central Division, because you've got some great talent and you've got a goaltending situation there that's a little girl with a curl. When it's good, it's very good, but when it's bad, it's horrid, and you don't know when it's going to show up, Zach.
Yeah, absolutely. But that is a team that's also getting a little healthier. I mean, heck, Alexander Barkov is back and already scoring. So you look at that, and if you have a goalie that can get hot in a Chris Driedger, or perhaps even, you know, if Bobrovsky can play to his talent, which has been the real question for the last, I don't know, few years, it's certainly something that you would be a little worried about seeing. And you imagine you're going to see both goaltenders next Monday and Tuesday. But this is a chance for the Predators to try and show that they actually belong in that conversation of those top three teams. And maybe that's just blatant homerism, but if you're going to try and make that statement, then this is the time that you need to prove it. And frankly, you've got to beat the Hurricanes at least once this season if you're going to do that as well.
When you go through a season, Coach, and a team sweeps you, I mean, you know, like as of right now, Carolina has done for the Predators with two games to go. Is that something that's in your head going into the playoffs?
I don't think it's in your head, but you certainly you talk about it, and why can't we be? And the press do a good job of pumping it up, saying, "Hey, you guys haven't beat these guys forever," and this and that. But I don't think players don't bother with that. They know the job they have to do, and they just happen to play six games in a row where they beat us or whatever it is. But I think that the Predators, they have nine games left. They got two against Florida, two against Columbus Blue Jackets are two games that are interesting to me, because you can put them, say they're out of it, but boy, they play hard every night, no matter what kind of a lineup Tortaz, he's going to make them play hard. And it's good. That could come down to those two games, because we're playing Carolina after that, but we have two games against Columbus that we have to get out of the way, and we got to get that done. But as I'm sure you want to hear this, but every other time, take it game by game. Coaches say take it game by game, and if you don't, you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Well, yeah, the one game at a time thing is always it is always obviously important. If you're looking ahead, coach's favorite expressions comes in. That's when the trap games start.
That's right.
You know, when you start looking ahead on that. So Zach, the Predators are about to find themselves in a very interesting predicament. With the return of Philip Forsberg, with the return of Matt Duchene, with a possible return of Brad Richardson, I mean, it starts getting interesting as to, obviously Forsberg's going right back into the lineup. But is Brad Richardson a guarantee to go in the lineup, considering how well these kids have played, Zach?
Yes, but I don't think he goes in where you expect. I don't see how you can break up that fourth line right now. I could see Brad Richardson going in place of an Eric Halla or even possibly a Rocco Grimaldi once Philip Forsberg is healthy. I think that third line is probably the most ripe for, breaking up would be my guess.
Right.
Also, I think that, you look at the top six right now, and I think, obviously Grimaldi goes in, goes out, and you put in Philip Forsberg. I do think you might shift Arvidsson down to the third line once Tolvanen is healthy. And at that rate, I do wonder, because right now you've got too many players who are playing well. I don't think you take out a Tanner Jeannot. I don't think you take out a Yakov Trenin, because they have played their way into the lineup and have been a force. I mean, we heard John Whiteman say it earlier.
Yeah. Oh, and we know you loved that. That's for sure, because, Yak's your boy. But coach, I mean, Zach makes a good point. You've got some of these guys playing so well. How do you pull them to the lineup?
Well, you got to fit in Forsberg. Forsberg for sure has to come back in.
Forsberg, Tolvanen, no brainer. Yeah. But Richardson's a question.
Yeah, and you just find out where he fits in. He plays a winger, plays a center iceman or whatever. He does take some draws. And if he fits in, if he doesn't, there's going to be more, knock on wood, there'll be more injuries coming along here. And when we get some guys back, you always have a few more. So you're going to need everybody still, but you're going to have to pull out the guys that aren't playing out, pulling their due and not doing the things they need to do. But they have to make sure that they it's a good thing, because we know they all can play now, eh? We never knew that before. We never knew that. We didn't know how Hollow was going to play. We didn't know how. We knew how Granum would play, but we didn't know how half these guys were going to play when they got called up. Tolvanen scores a goal his first night. Everybody says, wow, what a snapshot he's got. He goes in the lineup, and then he scores eight power play goals, or the team scores nine power play goals. It's just we're lucky we had this situation where we can have enough players to get through the playoffs. We have great goaltending, solid defense now with those Twin Towers, as we keep calling them, And I just think we know how we now know what we have. And that's what you said earlier. It took John this long to learn his team and to learn his coaches. And now he's ready to go.
It seems to be clicking. That's for sure. And it would be remiss if I did not mention today is an auspicious anniversary in Smashville. As we are talking about, the Predators being 6-0 against the Chicago Blackhawks today, is the 4-year anniversary of the sweep.
Uh-huh.
This is the 4-year anniversary of the Nashville Predators sweeping the Chicago Blackhawks out of the playoffs. And actually, it was before 2017, the last time you've heard Chelsea Dagger at the United Center. after April. So just I had to call that out, Zach. It's just one of those things, you know?
Hey, as someone who was in Chicago during that, it was a nice time. You know, I did a live podcast right after the sweep with my buddy who is a Blackhawks fan, went out to a bar, had a nice beer in my Preds jersey, didn't get killed, which was surprising. So, yeah, you know. Hate the team, love the town.
That's well, that was part of memories because that was a great series. Pecorini was unbelievable, that whole series.
No question about it. Well, guys, we have just spent another hour. We're back next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock here on Slapshot Radio. We'd like to thank the radio voice of the Chicago Blackhawks, John Weideman, for joining us tonight. A big thank you to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs, Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations, and of course, our man Carter Church. When you visit one of our sponsors, make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, Kenny, our co-hosts, Brett Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying Penalty Box Radio's up next. Good night and good hockey.